Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is the goal of a teacher? Is it not to change those that they teach? To prepare them for further experiences in whatever field it is that they are instructing them in? I remember one of my band directors, Mr. Hild. He was one that I had for a couple of years. And I would go to his office, and posted on the door, he had a sign, and I can't remember what it says exactly. I even sent an email to my sister to see if she could remember, and neither one of us could remember precisely what it said. But it said something along the lines of this: if I don't like you, I won't change you. But if I do like you, I will. That seems like the essence of being a teacher, at least to me. To a certain extent, even the professors of the Concordia Seminary in St. Louis would agree with that statement. I remember one morning Dr. Kloa came in, and at the beginning of class he says, "You do know that we're brainwashing you here, right?" Now perhaps saying brainwashing might be a little more than he intended, or a little bit more meaning to it than what me might expect, but is that not at least in part the case of what a teacher does? They try to get you to see through a particular lens, to see things through a particular lens in life, that perspective. So what perspectives or influences have been most influential in your life? Which teachers do you remember? What were they trying to teach you? And from what perspective were they trying to lead you? Do those perspectives fit with God? Or do they try to teach you things that are apart from God and apart from His Word? Ultimately, pastors, like teachers, instruct you so that you will learn to ask those questions of yourself. What is that person teaching me? Is it in agreement with God's Word? What does the Word say? What do the confessions have to say? What does the small catechism and the large catechism have to say on this topic? And then, like at college, they try to teach you to initiate yourself into going to the books and finding out for yourself. That's what pastors try to do, too. They try to give you the references so that you yourself, when you come across a question or an issue, that's in the confessions, so I can go find that in the confessions. Or, no, that question's in the catechism. Let me go refer to the catechism and see what it said there. Just as a side note, this week I went to a symposium, and they were talking about memory. And just a few minutes ago, at the end of adult Bible class, I was talking to one of you, and we were saying how much we remember how much we forget, rather, and how little we actually remember as to what Genesis chapters 1 through 4 say. Now, if 4 chapters we can't remember too well, what about the rest of Scripture? Should we not be going into Scripture time and time again? Again, as a pastor, as a teacher, I'm trying to encourage you to do that. Pastors do this knowing that at some point they will no longer have need for a job. That someday you will initiate yourselves to do that. And ultimately that day will come when Jesus Christ comes again. But until that time comes, pastors continue to preach and to teach. Now, as a lens for this perspective, take another look at the Old Testament text for today from Numbers. It depicts some of the trials and some of the joys that Moses had in teaching and leading the people of Israel before the coming Messiah. Now, the beginning verses of our text for this morning look at a situation Moses would face time and time again: Israel complaining. Now, Moses had already dealt with their complaints a few chapters earlier, prior to going to Mount Sinai. And as they were going to Mount Sinai, he stopped by his father-in-law's house, Jethro. And he tells Jethro about all his problems and how he's having a difficult time managing the people of Israel. And Jethro gives him the advice to go and pick out 70 men who are wise in the Lord to assist him. Not to take over leadership, but to assist him in his leadership of the people of Israel. He gives him that sound advice. Once again, in our text, Moses is having difficulty with complaints. It started with the rabble. That is, those people that were not Israelites, but escaped from Pharaoh with the Israelites on the way out. And it starts with the rabble, and then it works its way into the rest of the Israelites, until just 3 days after their exodus, after their leaving, the complaint was raised. Oh, that we had meat to eat! We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at. For those teachers among you, or for those of you who are parents or grandparents, have you ever had a time where you felt a strong connection, where you had one of those teaching moments, and it went well, and you thought, at last, they got it. They got the point. Only to turn around and have them do something that irritated you or discouraged you. Or thinking about it from the flip side. Perhaps you are the student or the child, and you have this great experience with your parent or your teacher, only to turn around and do something that disappoints or frustrates your favorite teacher or your parent. So it was with Moses, with the Israelites. They had just witnessed God's power firsthand. He washed away the army of Pharaoh. They saw the thunder and the voices of Mount Sinai. They received the miraculous giving of manna. And already they were turning around and complaining. All we have is this manna. Where's the meat? Where's the onion? Where's the garlic? Where's the leeks? And just as the teacher might be happy at such a time to go to the teacher's lounge and rant or get advice, Moses goes to God to rant and get advice. Moses heard the people weeping throughout their clans, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you dealt ill with your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is far too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once, if I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them." Moses was distraught. And already the people were complaining. So he takes his problems to the Lord. And from the Lord he receives the same advice and counsel that he had received from his father-in-law just a short time before. "Go and find 70 men who are wise in the Lord from among the Israelites, and gather them and bring them to me." These 70 men, these 70 leaders, would be assistants for Moses without taking his place as the sole leader of the people. So how often do you fit in with each group? Are you more often in the camp of the elders, helping to raise the prophet's hands and helping to go and spread the word? Or are you more often in the camp of the complainers? "We're tired of this manna. Give us something new. Give us something different." Think back over your life. Has there never been a time where God has delivered you? Now, granted, it may not be a thunder and voices experience like Mount Sinai, where you literally see the presence of God in the pillar of cloud and hear his voice, but he wears masks. Has he never worked through a doctor or a police officer or a firefighter in serving you? Or maybe even one of those favorite teachers that I was mentioning a few minutes ago. Did he not work through some of those masks in your life? At a time where you were distraught or needed help? Dear friends in Christ, too often, even with those events recalled, we find ourselves in the camp of the complainer. And this should not be so. You have received the Spirit of God, the very Spirit that was distributed from Moses among those 70 elders at the end of our text. The Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, the son of Nun, an assistant to Moses, feared that these men were trying to take Moses' place, that they were trying to overthrow him. But Moses calms his friend and his assistant, and he says, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." Despite his earlier discouragement, Moses recalled his goal as a teacher of the people of Israel, that they might all see the glory of the Lord and prophesy concerning it, concerning him. And so it is for you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Repent of your complaining. Repent and trust in the Messiah who has come, Jesus Christ the Lord, who has taken your sins to the cross of Calvary. More than that, he sent his Spirit. He sent his Spirit so many years ago at Pentecost as a foreshadowing of what would happen at your miniature Pentecost, at your baptism, where you also received the Spirit of God, that same Spirit that was given to those elders and the same Spirit given at Pentecost, that you too might be able to prophesy. This event then foreshadowed Pentecost, and Pentecost foreshadowed your miniature Pentecost of baptism, all for the fulfillment of Moses' desire and ultimately God's desire that you would be able to prophesy about him. At that event, God gave you the means to speak his word. Now all there is for you to do is to trust that, to trust that you have received his Spirit and take it with the hands of faith. Jesus has washed your slate clean, just as God has washed the Pharaoh and his armies from the Israelites. And you have a new beginning. As with Moses, so also I and every pastor worth his salt, would that you receive the Lord's Spirit, that you too may prophesy. And you have, through the water before, and in the Spirit at work, through that word which you have now heard. The Spirit is at work in you, that you also might prophesy concerning the Messiah who has come, Jesus Christ, and who will come again. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful until the life everlasting. Amen.